You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
Hi, I'm Tanya Lanthier. You are watching the Best Practices Show.
Guys, thanks for watching the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best practices all over the world. And boy, do I have a treat for you today. If you're looking at growing and leading your practice and trying to figure out how you assemble a team and hire and do all these things that I just think have changed the game so many times in the history of this great profession, then you have picked the right day to watch, because I've got my good friend Tanya Lanthier on today. And you're going to see she is one of the most brilliant influences in dentistry. And I have watched her grow her influence and her company, and you do not want to miss this, my friend. So do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. You are absolutely going to love this. Now, if you're watching this, just a couple things. In the feed below, add questions. We want you to get the most out of this. Our goal is to bring you the best education from the best key opinion leaders in dentistry. Today's no exception. You're going to love it. So ask some tough questions. And if there's other topics you want to see from Tanya, just add them there. We'll have her back again and again and again, and get a lot out of it. Also, I hear this a lot from team members. Dentists watch this all the time, but they don't share any education with their team members. What a great opportunity to say, hey, let's take a look at a couple things and include them in the conversation. That way you guys all grow together. So take a look for that. Keep focusing on. Now, my guest today, Tanya, you are one of those people, I'm just going to say this, like the first time I met you, I think it was ADMC. I'd actually seen you before. I'm like, oh, she has that one company, and then Inc. 5000. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, it's not like a little company anymore. And then she's on the move. And then I just got to the point where you were like everywhere helping some of our best practices, and people come up to me at seminars and they go, Kirk, I need to hire somebody, like help me. And I was like, I can't, because I'm not good at that, but I do know who is. And she is the founder of DentalPost.net. I mean, you've done a lot of things. So Tanya, if somebody's watching this for the first time and they don't know who you are, they've never seen you, who is Tanya Lanthier? And tell us your story.
Well, I'm a hygienist by heart. And I always say I went into my profession head first. I knocked my teeth out when I was 8 years old on a bicycle. And the team was so good to me, and I decided to be a dental hygienist later on in life. Wow. And but I became a great hygienist from that, because I knew what it was like to be in the chair. And I have a story about my mother too. She had OCD really bad, and she used to wash a lot. And you know, I was a very clean child, so I became a hygienist from that as well. And these are my three whys. And my next one is I struggled with trying to get pregnant and start a family. And this was about in 2002. I started temping as a hygienist all over Atlanta because I needed more flexibility in my schedule. So when I did that, I started to see offices that were great to work for, and the leader showed up, and, you know, the team was happy, and the book was full, and their profits were high. And then I went into other practices, and it was awful. Nobody wanted to be there. The leader didn't show up, either it was the front office or the dentist. And you saw the holes in the books, and you saw the patient care wasn't there either. And so I did what I started to do is people would say, oh, I'm not happy here. So I'd just move people around. And this gave me a bird's eye view of what really worked in offices, is that was personalities had to work. The leaders had to be there and show up. And, you know, there was a lot of different mechanisms that had to work, like core values and culture had to be there, because if you're not setting your culture, somebody will set it for you. And I realized that. So I threw up a website, and because the paper was $500 to post an ad for 10 words on the weekend. And when I did that, I threw up the website. I think I charged maybe $60 to post a job, and you could put as many words as you wanted. And the doctors loved it here in Atlanta, Georgia. And they were like, we want you to give out flyers at the Hinman. And I'm like, okay. I couldn't afford a booth at the time. Mm-hmm. And I just grew from there. And 2005 is when I launched it in January.
That's so awesome. And it just, you know, again, you've grown an incredible thing here. So how did that work after that? So but let me also say this. You've also had other jobs inside the practice. Like, you have a very good understanding of how they work. You're also heavily involved in EO, which I told you before we went on, I used to be involved. Great book called Rockefeller Habits. Vern Harnish is the owner of that. And then you're heading to the Harvard Strategy Program. I want to go with you. Like, I have no idea. I've only walked in the Harvard campus. I don't think I could get any of the buildings where they would let me in. But like, you're on the move. You're out there learning. Yeah. And so take us through that whole journey. How did your, the name of your company is Dental Post.
Post, right? Yeah.
Okay. What was the evolution of it? Like, take us through the evolution of that.
Well, I didn't really know what I was doing. I threw up a website, but I knew that there needed to be something to connect us all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had dealt with hard personalities in practices, and I wanted to always understand, because I think the human behavior is the problem usually with, you have a bad practice, you have a bad apple in there, or you have somebody that has control issues, or they keep things where they're not transparent, and then the team can't flow from there. And I took a DISC test when working for a guy in a practice, and I was like, fascinated about it. Mm-hmm. And so I started learning about it because of dealing with other difficult people. And then also I worked in a practice where a woman wasn't very kind to me, and I didn't know why, but she never said anything to me about my great work or how I took care of the patients. She always talked about my appearance, which was, I was tall, skinny, blonde. I started to realize that human behavior was a problem, and that's why I started adding testing into the site. I had an app before LinkedIn, and I had to rewrite the website 3 times because I didn't think it would grow as fast as it did, and it took off, and I had to redo the software. I just redid the whole software and spent 18 months putting a new platform in. That was hard. But that's kind of the evolution of it. And I grew from city to city as I made money. I've never taken money from anyone. I've taken the money that it made and just reinvested it in the company as it grew.
That's so great.
And good to my team.
Yeah, you are really good to your team. Because I hear that you and I both share the same coach, professional coach who comes in, Coeur d'Alene. He says that about you a lot. Like, you're really good. Yeah. So, hey, we're going to get into this, but really what you do is you fill an incredible need in the space in dentistry, which is when dentists who own their businesses or are looking for team members, you help them with all that. And we're going to get into that a little bit, but if you haven't checked it out, I'm going to encourage you to check it out. It's dentalpost.net. It's an incredible resource, and it's much more than just a hiring service. Like, yeah. I even borrowed all your DISC stats. I'm like, oh, these are so good on how the positions break down and everything. It's incredible, and I want to go into that. But first, I want to start here. Like, one of the things that you're passionate about is just the leadership and self-awareness. So let's talk about that. When people show up to the office and how it affects who they are and what happens there, because it's not an accident. when the culture's a mess?
Yeah, it's usually, it's how we show up. It's, you know, if we're in a bad mood all the time, you know, that passes on to our team. Mm-hmm. If you're leading someone and you come in and you don't want to talk to anybody, you can't lead a team if you're not going to talk. If you're right. in a bad mood, you're going to pass that mood on to that your team. And then think about that when you put your team in a bad mood and they're taking care of patients, they're going to pass it on. You know, we're basically contagious. Right. So I think leadership, if you've had no leadership skills or had no taken no courses, I believe it's real important to go get the education in order to become self-aware of your own weaknesses and your own strengths so that you can lead somebody. Because when you're not aware of that type of thing, then you don't know how to lead. Some people have been taught from their parents and around businesses or have picked up things from leadership. But I really think it's important for dentists in front office to get trained in leadership skills. Mm-hmm. Because when you're dealing with people, so, you know.
Yeah. And people always say to me, well, I don't know where to go for that. I mean, first it starts with the commitment to the journey, but talk about some of the dynamics, you know, male and female dynamic. Like, you're a lot smarter on this. You understand that it's often harder in expectations in a lot of respects when you've got that going on in a dental practice.
Yeah. When it comes from leadership, I think first of all, either male or female, you have to be vulnerable and you have to create a safe place for your team. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a safe place and it's poisonous, people won't share, they'll hide behind everything, whether you're female or male. But there is a dynamic with the males and the females. You know, we're becoming more female in dental practices, mm-hmm. and females are becoming leaders. And as females, they're psychologically, we expect more from females than we do like if I was your boss, mm-hmm. and I had a male reporting to me and a female reporting to me, I would expect more from the female than I would the male. And there's a
And why is that? Like, I want to know why.
So Phyllis Chesler, she has a book called Women's Inhumanity to Women. It's a great book. It's based on a lot of research in psychology. And it goes through the years of like dating where, you know, a female is always pretty much showed up for another female. A mother has always been there. Or, you know, you go out on a date with a guy, they don't show up or they're late, or, you know, there's traits there that a mom instills. We just expect more from females because they were always there providing for us. Mm-hmm. So that goes back to that psychology, even though it seems kind of strange to bring it forward. But when you look at human behavior, everything goes back to your childhood and how our development is, how we develop in life.
Yeah. And so, oh gosh, if going back to their childhood, it's like, so what if you feel like you just, you know, you're stacked against the odds or things like that? And because you bring a lot of what you've learned in the past. And I always think, gosh, I hope I'm not screwing my kids up so they have to deal with a lot of this stuff in the future. But you talk about expectations, you talk about being harder. And you said to me before we went on, like, there's a lack of clarity. Like, people, how did you say that? You said, a lot of times women or men think they've communicated and they haven't. Share with us your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Clarity is real important. And I think expectations and also boundaries. A lot of people don't set those. They just say, go do that job. And we're in the millennial and, generation, you know, in 7 years, 3/4 of our workforce is going to be millennials. And we got to keep in mind that the baby boomers they're retiring in the millions. Mm-hmm. So how we do things is going to change. Even with the next generation, they've had YouTube and they've had explicit, you know, directions on how to do stuff. So being clear is going to be even more important going forward with the new generations going, you know, in the future. So setting your boundaries and your clear expectations are really important. And like Marshall has us do, he has us write down what we're going to do and then each step of what we're going to do, right?
I feel whenever he makes me do that, I'm like, dude, come on. He's like, no, Yeah, stop talking. Just make it happen. I'm like, ah. The value of a good coach is you can't even measure it, because I was talking to a dentist this morning, and you experience this when you have your coach come in, but like, I sleep better now, knowing that I don't have to worry. And we've also broken up our, you know, priorities and KPIs in quarterly, you know, sections. So now for 13 weeks, we focus on just this, and we repeat that over and over again. And I tell you, I just feel better.
Yeah. So one of the things I do is I put scorecards together for my team, and it's a job description. I have everybody do it themselves, and they write out their job description, and then I put them in a format. So if anything ever goes forward, I've got a template that I can even hand over to somebody what their job was. And then think about how much time and energy that saves. You know, if you've put away some of that, and you set the clear expectation of what needs to be done and write those out, plus a template to go by, it makes life a lot easier. I think structure is, you know, the best offices that I worked for had structure in. The worst ones had just, it was a shit show, excuse my language.
Oh, you can say whatever you want. This is a private show. This is so good. Just let it fly. And that's true. That's so true. You know, and the truth of it is, a lot of subjectivity happens when we're leaders. Like, I want you to do this. We've got to get up there. We have to have, but when you have a scorecard, the cool thing, human beings always want to score well. They never want to say, gosh, I hope I lose. And we're all conditioned from being in grade school that our scorecards have to be, you know, good. They just have to be really good. Yeah. So I absolutely love it. And so, which leads us right into the biggest abyss of dentistry, which is the hiring. Give us a state of hiring. Like, if I'm a young dentist watching this, Tanya, what would you say about hiring today in the world, specifically in dentistry? What would you say?
Hiring's become more difficult. It's become more difficult. You know, a lot of people don't understand that. They think, they put an ad up and just put 8 to 5 out there, and here I'm paying this, that everybody's going to show up. They're looking at, you know, 100 other ads out there, and you really got to stand out. You got to be a little zebra out there and within all the horses, you know, you got to stand out. And you've got to tell people who you are. You know, core values goes back, I think, to leadership. When we were talking, you really need to have that in your practice. And if you don't set them, your whole team will set them and not mean to, you know, somebody will set them for you. Your culture. I brought Judy Kay into my office about
she's awesome. Yeah.
5 years. She's fantastic. And I had 10. And you're supposed to have 3 to 5 core values.
Right.
Well, we dwindled them down to 5 that really said who we are. Mm-hmm. And I give that to people when they come in for an interview. You know, I'm like, these are our core values. I also put that in my ad. I'm really straightforward about it. And, you know, it's what sets the tone of the whole office. If I want to improve people's lives. If you're not here to improve people's lives, I'm like, you're out the door, you know?
And it's so funny you say that, because I had like 30 core values of all the things that were important. And then Marshall came in and go, nobody has 30 core values. Those are all aspirational, blah, blah, blah. So we had to put them, and I'm tethered right now. I get up, but we put them on the coffee cups and everything. And ever since they've become, I don't have a tattoo, but if I ever got one, I think it would be that. But I'll tell you, I'm with you. Like, I haven't had one problem since we have put that full out there, like as a beacon for here's how this works. It's basically how you behave, and that's it. And this is how it all works. Now, I don't know if your coach, who's the same, he makes us put our hands in every day. Cause he goes, you talk Corvell, you talk dog, dog. He goes, you got to make sure they're alive and well. So every day in our huddle, we have to put our hands in and call out a core value that we saw yesterday from that's someone awesome. To tell everybody these are alive and well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even the new team members are like, you have to put our hands in every day. I go, yes, we do. Cause this is, and they go like this. They're like, okay, 1, 2, 3. And then we call a core value. But the point is this, it makes a statement. These are real. These are critically important too. Yeah. And it's reason why we go to work every day. I agree with you. Like, that's an incredible place to start. It's get super clear. And I think it's the most important thing you'll ever do in business ever.
Yep. Yep. One of mine is obsessed with finding a better way. And so I'm always looking for how to condense it down, make it easier for my clients.
Yeah. Have you ever taken the why test? There's 9 whys. You have the same disease that I have. So there's nine whys, and one of them is you're obsessed with finding a better way, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Which is it's a blessing, but it's also a curse.
Curse.
You know, yeah. Like you're like, this could be better. This could be better. And there are sometimes when teams just
go, no, that's a perfectionist. I'm not a perfectionist.
Okay. All right.
Like, this will work.
Absolutely. Now go back. Let's go back to it. So we talked about the state of hiring. Where do we start? Like, where would I even start? So how do you find people? I mean, obviously I could just call dentalpost.net, but give me some insight. Like, how does the hiring process work if I've just not had any luck as a dentist?
Again, I think you have to start with the core values, get it down on paper. You have to write out what you want and your process of, and your office, and are you a fun office? Are you, mm-hmm. Do y'all work hard but have fun? Are you a place where you want to give excellent care to the patients, or are you high, you process patients through fast? I mean, you've got to really give them a good idea of who you are. Are you high technology? You're a constant learner. Those are things you want to put in your ad. And then you've got to sprinkle a little bit of gold in there. And, I think now too, you got to give them something to, a carrot to bite onto to get them in. Now, I don't interview anyone unless they've taken a little DIS test that I've given, because I want to make sure they fit. And then before I hire them, I give them a deeper personality test to know where their need comes from. Does their need come from community? Does their need come from power? Does their need come from, being right? Here's an old book. There's a book that says you can be right or you can be married. It goes the same way. You can have a job. You can be right or you can have a job. It's like a person that has to be right, and they're always arguing. Those are needs that people have. And if you can recognize some of these things that would cause a problem in your office before you hire somebody, you're going to save a lot of time and money.
Yeah,
and effort.
I gotta read that fast.
I also ask people, the first question I ask them, I'm like, are you playing to win? Or are you playing to not lose?
So explain that though, I love that. Explain that.
So when a person comes in, and if they're playing to win, they're competitive, they're going to find a way. If they're playing to, not lose, they're going to be more cautious person. They're going to be a person that's like, they won't take chances. So you can kind of see where that person would be. A person that's not going to take chances, you probably won't file in your insurance. Okay. Mm-hmm. But a person that's going to go after it, wants to sell, make sure your patients get the right proper care, and you can motivate them to, make an appointment on the book. Those are the ones on the other side. That's how I use that.
I love that. Marshall said this 2 times ago. He said, I hate losing more than I enjoy winning. I was like, oh, it hit me right in the heart. And I was like, oh my gosh. Now I want to go back. Gosh, I have so many questions. I need like 3 hours. Okay. Right. So the DISC test is the reason why you do it. Now, legally in every state, you can't just administer that selectively. Everyone that, right? So that's, and then the second piece, the reason why you do this, I'm guessing, is because you don't want it to bias because I am the worst. I'll like somebody and then they aren't built with the best traits for the role. Is that how you think of it?
Yes. I have thought about changing my site where you come in, you look at the resumes, take the picture away, and then you pick first by the resumes. So you'd be less biased, because we look at people and it's 85%. We judge like that. And we make a judgment the way that person looks by what our past has told us about a person that looks like that.
Right.
So our intel is flawed, mm-hmm. Visually. So I've thought about taking away the pictures prior to picking first and then adding them back so that people could see. But on my site, you can take all the assessments for free. They allow them to be put up. So I'm there's a protection there,
right.
Where they are in charge of their own destiny when they have, what information they give. I just host the board. And then there's personality tests on their DISC. We have an emotional intelligence. We have a work culture assessment that has to do with the environment they're happy working in, fast pace, slow pace, high technology, right. low technology.
Big Is that office, the culture index test?
I hired an industrial psychologist and they helped me adjust it for dentistry. Right. So,
and they're pretty accurate, right? Like yeah. It tells you, does this fail or not?
There's no failing. It's self-assessment, so you can't fail.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That's a good point. But the test tells you a lot, right? So you have them do those two, and then what happens after that? Because hiring is one of those things. You see people do group hiring, then you see a dentist, they'll interview 30 chairside assistants, like for an hour a day, and then, you know, and they're like, oh my gosh.
I think you can use DISC to decide too in that aspect, because if you know what you are, if you're high D personality, a really high D personality, mm-hmm. you know, you don't want to hire a high D dental right. assistant, because you'll hit, you know, you'll bump heads. And I think that's where you look at the numbers, how high a D they have, how high a I, S, C. Mm-hmm. I think it's really good to have not extreme.
Right.
I think it's good. You'll have a primary and a secondary part of your personality. I'm an ID, DI. I kind of float right there in the middle. I'm happier when I'm on the ID versus the DI. But, you know, you shouldn't have me filing insurance. I'd rather rip my fingernails off and pour alcohol on them than do insurance. So you can look at the DISC and you can kind of go, okay, you know, if your dentist is really serious, you want to hire a high I to work with you mm-hmm. so that they can be happy and keep the patients happy. And then you're serious over here doing your work. There's a good balance there where you can use this to your advantage in hiring. There's a lot of factors in hiring though, but personality is not just the only one. You've got, right. there's lots of things to consider when you're hiring. This kind of just helps you get there a little bit. And then you start looking at other aspects.
Yeah. I tell people all the time, and I'm no different. I'm in no boat. I'm the biggest problem in my own business. But in order to attract great people, you first have to be a great person that fosters a great environment, because great people don't come into an environment and just bless your world and rock it. I mean, it'll all work itself out eventually, right?
Yeah. You know, I just went and I saw, I can't think of his name, Alan. He was the ex CEO of Boeing and Ford, and he built and turned Ford around with just being kind to people, setting clear expectations. It's all those good things about being a great leader and showing up and being transparent with people. You know, in dentistry, I saw so many unhealthy environments and right. so unhealthy people that they would play each other and they would sabotage each other in offices. And, you know, the leader let it happen. And right. so, you know, when you don't tolerate that type of behavior, you can actually have a more productive practice, a higher functioning, profitable practice. When you step up and set the boundaries and set the core values and what you will and will not, you know, accept in a practice.
Yeah, that is awesome. Now, is it true? I read too much or pay too much attention. What is the state in dentistry? In the United States, nearly all half of all hires fail at 18 months. Yes. Is that a similar trend in dentistry, or is dentistry
yes.
different?
It correlates with the population. So does DISC. DISC and in the population, they kind of correlate. Right now, our unemployment rate is 3.7 right now. It's the lowest, one of the lowest in history. I think it was lower in 1940. I think it was 1.9. Mm-hmm. But for the next 10 years, we're going to have they're predicting under 5% unemployment. Wow. So this is going to be a problem for a while mm-hmm. for our dental industry. And just in general, the whole population. They're also talking about having more part-time jobs, and we're in a, you know, we're bifurcating it's amazing what's happened with our jobs. I think dentistry is going to be really safe. From what I've learning, I was at another conference in Charleston this past week, and it was talking about the future of business. And we are going to see a lot of people lose jobs, but they're going to be jobs that are more automated. But I think dentistry, we're pretty safe right now. When you deal with the emotional component of a person, your job's safer.
Yeah, absolutely. Dentistry is a pretty safe profession to get into financially. I mean, very few dentists ever go out broke unless they do something really stupid. Yeah. And then the other thing too, the right dentist can create an unbelievable work balance. We always say time is the new rich. So somebody who's really good at what they do, they're a great assistant. They know they can find a job working in a dental office, working 7 to 3. They can have it all. They can have a life. And I think life is the thing that's missing a lot in other, you know, I have friends that are attorneys and they work around the clock, you know? So I don't know. I love dentistry. What is there anything like, let's say again, I'm a young dentist watches, like what kind of coaching or insight would you give me if, as I hire people? So let's say I hire them, they pass the DISC test, the personality test. What do I do from there? How do I keep these people? Like, do you guys deal with that at all or not so much?
I mean, I kind of know from being in some practices, but right. I mean, some of the best dentists, they set up, you know, goals and with the team and reward. I worked in a practice where the doctor, he set a, you know, a pot for everybody and a lot of the, everybody was involved in it. And they had the goal they had to hit the, you know, reward they got, and it was cash reward. And I'll tell you this, the people that were working on the team, if you had a slacker or somebody they hired and it didn't fit in, they would push them out in a heartbeat if you have that type of program set up. Those are some of the healthier offices that I saw.
Yeah, just a little bit more accountability, more, you know, playing to win, right?
They measure their KPIs. Yeah, they measure their KPIs, and they would also take their team to be educated and continuing ed, you know, with SPEAR or LVI or all these other places that give continuing ed for teams.
Right. What would you say to not do in hiring other than don't try to do this on your own? Like if you were to give a quick class in hiring, like what would you say? Don't do this. What would they be?
I'd say slow down.
Slow down.
Yeah. Slow down. Slow down. I'd lay it out in front of you with, okay, is this person fit in? What's their personality like? What do I want them to do? What not to do? I'm always like, what to do? It's hard for me to do negatives.
Check references. That's a double.
Check references.
You have to check references because you got to make sure it's their real name, you know, and then just a whole host of other things.
Google them. People don't have they do not have their social media shut down. There's something out there about everybody you can find.
Yeah.
So, definitely.
We hired somebody and then I found them on the internet. I'm like, oh my gosh, like no way.
Go with your gut too. I mean, if you've got a good feeling about somebody when they come in and you've got the facts in front of you and you have a good feeling, you know, trust your gut sometimes. Your first, you know, if there's, and also words they use. I go on adjectives. Like if I'm sitting here talking and you hear somebody go, I'm not loyal at that, or I'm not loyal at that. They're usually not loyal in other aspects of their life. You know, people will tell you who they are if you just stop and listen for 2 minutes in the conversation. They'll tell you who they are. Listen to the adjectives they use.
Right.
If they're negative, if they use negative words.
Yeah, I totally agree. Especially if they're slamming old bosses.
Yep.
You're going to be the next one. Or the other thing, I don't know if this is true or not, but I found this to be true, is that anyone that has an unhealthy relationship with their past always has an unhealthy relationship with the future. Now, people can have bad pasts. I have some bad, but like it happened.
Happens.
I mean, it helped, it made me work that much harder. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when people have been the victim in the past, they're always the victim in the future. Type of thing.
Were you the little brother and you had an older brother and he picked on you? No, I'm just kidding.
I had a little brother that I would beat up all the time. So he has a different story and I love him dearly. And then he wasn't a little brother anymore. Then he became a big brother and then he beat me up. So be nice to your little brothers because they can eventually be big brothers.
Yeah.
So it's all good. What other words of wisdom or thoughts do you have as we get ready to wrap this up about the future of dentistry, culture, or hiring, anything, any other things that you would say?
You know, again, I think that vulnerability in office is like so important. I think it starts with the doctor and the office manager and whoever's leading. And if that's not healthy, then the practice is not going to grow as fast, and it's not going to be able to maintain a good rhythm.
Right.
And you'll turn over, I think, more. Leadership is so important to create a safe place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just hire people with great attitudes that are willing to adjust. You know, yeah. You can teach skills to people that, you know, they don't know how to do something, then, you know, give them the chance to go learn a skill.
Yeah.
And invest in people. People are always like, well, I don't want to invest in anybody because they might leave me. I'm like, well, then stay the same. You know, it's like, you got to pour love into people.
Yeah. I had a dentist, he said, you know, what if I spend all this money and these people leave? I said, what if you don't and they stay, you know what I mean? Like you're going to lose, you know?
Yeah. People don't, they don't understand it. So,
I'm so glad you said the word vulnerability. And as a male, I had a hard time understanding that, because vulnerable sometimes translates to weak, but it's not at all. It's a very powerful trait in dentistry. Brené Brown I'm a big fan.
Love her. Yeah.
And then also, we're big fans of Patrick Lencioni, which vulnerability and being authentic, it's the greatest thing in the world. Oh, one of the best books of all time, guys.
Yeah, I love this.
You know, if you read it carefully, you're going to figure out that you're suffering from, at times, all five dysfunctions. So, it's the answer key to how to create a healthier organization.
It is. And vulnerability is in there. So.
It is. It is. And as you get older, it gets easier because you're more transparent and you don't really care anymore. And you're like, here it is.
Another one is Ego is the Enemy. Have you ever heard of that book?
No, but I believe that. Tell me more. What do you mean?
Like when I would go into offices as a hygienist and I would practice, I would see patient would say, Tanya, you did a great job. I love it. And they would tell the doctor, and the doctor would get a little jealous. And I would see it happen in other hygienists too. Like the doctor didn't like the hygienist getting the attention. Mm-hmm. Or you had a female dentist. I saw this a lot where I had a male doctor that I worked for, and he brought in a female doctor and he wouldn't give her any hard work. He was jealous of her. He didn't want her to have certain patients. He didn't want her to, you know, he was hurting himself in the long run. And it was bizarre to watch this ego get in the way. And no offense, but a lot of men, the ego, women have egos too, but women like to play together a lot of times. They'll play together just to play. Men will play together to compete, but they have egos. And that is a problem I see in dentistry, where they're jealous of their team.
Yeah.
And, that's really sad.
Yeah. No offense taken. I have FOMO. Is that bad? Like fear of missing out whenever I'm like, hey, what are you guys doing? Like, I didn't get invited. They actually have a group chat. They didn't include me. I'm like, they're like, no, you're not included. We're talking about you in a good way. I'm like, oh, okay. So I don't know. I've got a lot of issues. So I don't even know where to start.
At least now this is the personality that I don't like. The personality that wants to be invited to the party, but doesn't want to go. At least you're not that person.
Oh, no, no. I don't ever want to miss a party ever. Like,
me neither.
I'm not good at a lot of things, but I'm good at going to a party, you know, so it's good stuff. Now, for the benefit of people that might be listening to this, Tanya, on iTunes, tell them where to find you. Like, if I wanted to find out more information or find out more about dentalpost.net, like, where do I go? How do I find this?
You can join us. We have 60,000 dental offices nationwide that are registered on our site. You can go to dentalpost.net and you can sign up your office, or you can sign up as a job seeker. We have about 850,000 dental professionals that are registered on our site that use it for education. They use it to look for jobs. And we have other aspects there, personality assessments.
Yeah. So, and basically, again, it's a community where you have the need, and then you have the other people searching for the need. You know what I mean? So it puts people together in a way that's very safe. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. We have education there too. We have Dental Post EDU as well.
So. EDU. Wow. Do you have your own like university where you can?
EDU. I started another website that they connect in. So
what will you do next? Like we're all going to wait and.
I'm going to create something in team management. I'm working on it right now because I think there's not a lot of team management out there. It's really about the doctors most of the time, or it's about the the team, but there's nothing out there to bring teams together and become self-aware and build trust. And I think that a lot of the great consultants do it. Like, I think Linda Miles has done that, mm-hmm. Judy Kay, and Rachel Wall's great about bringing the hygiene awesome. Team together. There's a lot of great people that are doing it, but there's still not enough of it.
I agree. And that's the future right there, is taking good care of people. Yep. Because that's where it all comes from. It's all where it's all starts and where it comes from. So, Tanya, thank you so much for being on. Stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. And we're going to have you back again and again and again. But if you're watching the show and you enjoyed the show, just do us a favor. Hit the share button. Share it with your friends. Spread the good word. Reach out to Tanya. Check out dentalpost.net. I promise you will love it. It has some incredible information. Keep sending us suggestions for shows that you want to see, not only from Tanya, but other guests, and we'll line them up as best we can. We're doing that now in season 3. And I guess until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day.